to The Brighter Side of Education. I'm your host, Dr. Lisa Hassler, here to enlighten and brighten the classrooms in America through focused conversation on important topics in education. In each episode, I discuss problems we as teachers and parents are facing and what people are doing in their communities to fix it. What are the variables and how can we duplicate it to maximize student outcomes? Today's episode focuses on theater education. How can theater education enhance student learning outcomes and address social concerns arising in the classroom? In current classrooms where student focus wanes, disruptions in classrooms are rising, and the social-emotional well-being of our youth is troublesome, theater education emerges as a beacon of hope. In the Arts Education Partnership series, Arts Count, authors Gwen Middleton and Mary Dellerba delve into the benefits of theater education in their 2022 report titled Theater Counts, How Theater Education Transforms Students' Lives. It highlighted theater education's impact, which transcends student demographics, age groups, and learning settings. However, it's disheartening to note that as of the last comprehensive study conducted 15 years ago, merely 4% of public elementary schools provided theater instruction, and less than half of public secondary schools integrated theater education into their curriculum. Moreover, data from a 2012 report by Americans for the Arts indicates a concerning disparity, revealing that fewer schools offered theater courses during the school day compared to those offering extracurricular theater programs. Additionally, schools serving wealthier students were more likely to provide theater education during the school day than schools serving students in areas with higher poverty rates. Joining me today to discuss the benefits of theater education and ways to incorporate it into all students' lives is Brad Wages. He is the lead instructor at Venice Theater's Education and Community Engagement Department. Welcome to the show, Brad.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Can you please tell us about yourself and how you came to theater?
Sure. I was born and raised in a very small town in Oklahoma that had very little access to theater or to the entertainment world at all. But I was very lucky to be in the right place at the right time. And as a child, I was cast in a National Hershey's commercial. I was 2 feet tall and about 4 feet wide, and I had lost my teeth. And so I was cast holding a chocolate bar, smiling with no teeth. And that was one of my first introductions. It was just being in the right place, having the right physicality. But through that moment, I realized how much I enjoyed being in front of the camera, how much I enjoyed the act of the director telling me what to do and creating a little character. So I pursued that, and my parents were wonderful people that saw my love for it. They encouraged it, continued to take me to auditions. I became one of the few working child actors in the state of Oklahoma. My parents would take me out of school, and my mother would homeschool me when I would get a job away from home. So we would go away for 8 weeks to 12 weeks while I could perform, and my mother would be my teacher. That continued. Of course, graduated, ended up getting my degree in theater performance. Traveled to Atlanta for many years and created a career for myself. Became a union actor, went on to Chicago for several years. And then I ended up down in Florida because I had worked for several theaters here. When I was living in Atlanta, I was jobbed in quite a bit to theaters in Florida. I came down from Chicago to do a show at a theater up in the Panhandle, and it was the winter, it was freezing, and I had left, you know, minus 30 degree weather, and came down and I walked the beach on Christmas Day, and I said, this is where I belong. So I stayed in Florida, and through that, though, I ended up getting hired for several national tours. I was on the road off and on for about 4 years. And I came home from my last tour, and I was exhausted. I wanted to sleep in my own bed. And, you know, on a regular basis was going to be nice. Venice Theater contacted me, knew of me, had seen some of my work. And basically, I was tempted by someone saying, you can still create, you can still be a viable force in the entertainment world, but you're going to be able to sleep in your own bed. And I took the job and have never regretted it, have loved going from, I still perform and I still go out on the road when I'm called, but I have really loved making the transition from active performer 100% of the time to becoming an educator, because I look fondly back on those people that saw a talent and a drive and a passion in me. And I wanted to be able to give that back, and I'm thrilled to do it.
I was a little drama kid when I was growing up. I didn't get into a Hershey commercial, but I was like, I think a leprechaun. I was a leprechaun. I had my own pot of gold.
And that stretches your imagination. That's what we do.
It really does. I remember we had a drama club in my elementary school, and then it went on to middle school. When I applied to become part of it, it said, "Why do you want to be in the drama club?" And I said, "You know, I don't know." And so my grandma said, "Put that you're a natural born ham." So I did, and he loved it, and I got in, and I never looked back. I didn't understand it at all when my grandmother said it, but the whole family thought that was quite a riot, and I was like, "But I'm not really a ham." Now, my experience with Venice Theater was when I was teaching at Epiphany Cathedral School, teaching second grade. Our middle schools were part of your Venice Theater program. My own daughter got to be a part of it. So if you want to just give a little overview about like what was that program like and how did you design it?
I'd love to. We were very gifted to partner with Epiphany. I thought it was an outstanding program. I thought it was a great idea. When the principal came to us, our first year, she came to us around January and said, "We want to start a theater program." Our theater was right across the street from the school. It was so close for the students to come to us, which I thought was a very important thing. They weren't learning a new skill within their education environment. They were coming into a theater. They were coming into a creative space. When the principal contacted us and said, "It's January and I would like a full-scale production in March," my teeth dropped. That first year, I wrote a show called Gates of Imagination, which was based on the poems of Shel Silverstein.
Oh, fun.
And then I added contemporary music, and we created a storyline that basically was a young girl goes through a gate and she enters the world of the imagination. And we incorporated all of that, and then we added dance because I wanted the kids to feel what it was like to have to learn that physicality. Many of them, of course, were in sports, and it's very similar because there's a lot of the same muscles that are used, but the way that we think of dance and the way that we think of football is very different. So it was very successful that first year. We managed to pull it off. The parents loved it. The kids had a great time. The school saw the value of the program. And then we continued for 10 or 11 years. And at that point, we decided to start using well-known scripts. So we found school versions of well-known musicals, Godspell, Guys and Dolls, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, some classics in literature as well. So then we started, the kids would come over the beginning of the school year in September. We would rehearse all year. I would have them two mornings a week for about 45 minutes, but we rehearsed it the entire year, and then they were able to put on a full-scale, fully costumed, fully realized production that helped to boost their imagination, to let them think outside the box, and to sort of test where they wanted to be. We also taught basic acting skills, we taught theater terminology, and we instructed them on how a production is put together, who's responsible for what. We taught them physical awareness, what's happening around you, how are you involved in it, and how is your involvement important. In the beginning, it was they were very cold and they were very stiff, for lack of a better word. But as the years went on and the reoccurring students came in, they became more and more relaxed with the process of being silly or pretending to be another human being in another environment with different realities. And to see that success over those years was stunning for us. We had some great success stories, but it was the smiles on the kids' faces, my students' faces, starting with the fear. It's always started with fear in the beginning. But by the time we got to performance, to see that change in attitude, that confidence, was just, it was a heartwarming thing. And that growth was something that cannot be measured.
Oh, absolutely. I would witness it being a second grade teacher and then seeing these students as they were entering your program when they were in fifth grade and sixth grade and seventh and being able to see that change in them. That was so impressive to me. And my first viewing as an audience member to be able to see the level of professionalism that they were being able to be immersed in. This just elevated all expectations.
The more that we invested in the production itself, we saw that investment coming back from the kids, from our students. We are a real theater. We're second in the nation. So everything they were given was like, costume was built for you. This is not just a dress somebody pulled out of a closet. It was like, no, we measured you. We built you a costume specific to your character. And, you know, I mean, that moment, that feeling of having something built for you, that is such a glorious feeling for a student to go, I'm important enough that they're doing this for me. And so their investment back to us and their investment back to themselves to continue to grow.
What skills do children develop through participating in theater?
I think the most important, Lisa, that children get, first and foremost, is confidence. You know, some kids in the school classes, I know I never had this problem because, as you said, I was a big ham too. When asked to get up in front of the classroom and read something, I had no problem. You know, I'd be the first to raise my hand and go, let me do it. But I know that there are many students who would get so shy and so scared of standing in front of a group. And when we put them in front of a theater, it's not a classroom of 20 students. It was an audience of 400 people or more. So we watched, and it was a slow process for some students. For some, it's not a slow process. But it was, first and foremost, was confidence, believing in themselves, learning empathy through how a character feels about other characters, feeling it's okay to be happy for someone, feeling it's okay to be concerned if the other character is having a bad moment. Theater skills teaches us how to communicate. It teaches about collaboration, group focus, problem solving, active listening, which is, I think, a really important thing. We in theater, we try to teach our students not just to listen to what another character has said to you, but listen to the intonation of the voice. Listen to how it's being said. There are so many things that aren't being said in the words that we say. Mm-hmm. And play scripts are written that way specifically quite a bit. But it's active learning, active listening became a very important thing for us to hear exactly what you need to hear, then take it in and figure out what it is you're really hearing and what it is that somebody's asking from you. So active listening became very important to us. How to express ideas. Just some kids were, or some students are afraid or just timid or don't know that they have the right to say, I have an idea and I would like to share it.
Right.
So we tried to teach them that your opinions, your ideas, your thought processes are so valuable and they can help to actually change and shift the final product. So it's not just that the teacher was saying, we're doing this, period. It was, I see it like this, but I'm open to suggestions. That empowers a student to go, hey, my ideas are valuable. My ideas are important. And so I think that's a part of the confidence that comes through it. But I think the confidence is the biggest thing that we learn from theater skills.
How can theater programs help address the disconnection and lack of social skills in children, especially after the challenges of the pandemic, where they were a lot of that distance and that separation and isolation a lot of them had felt, and that the increased use of electronic devices that are being used as communication instead of the face-to-face, the body language. So how do you think that theater programs could be helping these kids?
First and foremost, in our rehearsals and our classes, the first thing that we say is get rid of the phones, because kids will try to hold their phones just as a security blanket. But it's, put it down, walk away from it. One of the basics of theater is that we learn eye contact. Yeah. That on stage, if you're talking to a character, you're looking at that character. You're reading what's happening in their eyes. You're seeing their face. You're seeing their expressions. So that's one of the first things that we find that, you mentioned the pandemic, a lot of my students, I saw that disconnect because they had been away from each other for a while. And even students that had been great friends before the pandemic, being away from them for a year and a half, they were very wary coming back together. Like, you know, girls got them. They like to hug. They see each other. They like to hug. I'm aware of the girls, you know, that would run up and see each other and hug. And I was very aware of the same girls being very timid about it after the pandemic. But you saw the yearning. You saw the, oh my gosh, that's my friend.
Yeah.
But the pandemic scared us, but we also lost a little bit of our social connection. Yeah, so theater skills, again, it's you learn group dynamics. You learn an energy feed that every theater game, and theater games are so important. And there's always a learning curve to it. There's always a reason we do theater games. It's not to waste time. Some of my students will go, we're just playing. So I will then define what that game means and what they can get from that game. And so that sort of changes like the way we play the game, because now they understand there's something to gain. But theater games, theater skills, it's the eye contact, it's the group dynamics, it's interaction. It's not looking at your phone, not looking at your tablet, not staring ahead at the class board. It is everything about the theater relies on all of us working together. And that coming back from the pandemic, coming from the world of cell phones and laptops and iPads, that if we can put those away and we can look at each other once again and we can rely on a partner, then it opens up again. It opens up that sort of creative energy that has been locked away because of the pandemic, that gets locked away, I think, daily because we're so onto our electronic devices.
Yeah.
I think it continues to. It does, I will say, it does train students on one side of their brain, but it kills the other side of the brain. So by putting down those electronic devices, by playing these games, by learning to problem solve as a group, the interaction needed to put a production together or even to play a successful theater game. Those are the skills that we get from that. And even though we are still reeling from the pandemic and we're constantly on our phones, I think if we can take those moments away and again, eye contact, talk to your partner, play a game, explore the imagination. We forget how to imagine. A lot of what we do in life, the answers are for theater students. It is their saving grace.
Yeah.
It is the place that they can suddenly go, I'm at home. I'm relaxed.
These are my people.
Yeah.
I fit. That's my tribe. Right. And there's a lot of research that actually supports the academic benefits of theater education. Can you talk about what those benefits are?
Certainly. As I started to say, there is a forgotten group. You know, I mean, we have the athletes who are the natural born athletes. They click immediately because that's who they are. Then we have a group, I always call it the marching band group, because they like music, but they don't necessarily want to sing, but they get into a marching band situation. And again, they're part of a group that is working toward a greater goal. But there's a group of kids that maybe aren't athletic, that don't want to be in the marching band. And those are sometimes the forgotten group. For lack of a better word, and I'm sorry, in old school, we called them the geeks or the nerds. Basically, they were the creative souls. They're the creators. And theater gave them a place to belong. You know, it gives them a way to find their tribe. But the academic benefits have been tested and have been proved so much. Information retention, because we learn to memorize a script. Once students don't realize they're learning the process of how to memorize something, but that memorizing, of course, then comes back into play in your academics. You're studying, you're tested on things, you're expected to know things. So they're learning how to retain that information. They're learning how to memorize and keep information inside their head without realizing it. Again, I said it, they're thinking outside the box. They're learning math skills. Quite a few shows, of course, are musicals or band or chorus. Music is all math. It's all measures of music. It's all math. So without really realizing it, that skill of 3/4 music, 4/4 music, 2/4 music, how many measures do I sing? How long do I hold the note? It's all math. Dance is the same thing. It's like, okay, I swing my arms 4 times, then I go to the floor for 3 counts. Then I, So that skill can be transferred to just living in your math class, learning your math class. It teaches enhanced reading skills. When we read, we don't always retain because kids want to do their studies and get it over with quickly. Sometimes that's not the most effective way because they're not really reading the story. They're not really soaking in what the story has to say. As they work on a script or a sketch, the same thing can then be, of course, pointed to their reading skills for their history class. You learn to have empathy for what was happening. It's like, oh, it wasn't just a war in 1787. It was people were fighting for something they believed in. People were killed. People were saved. There were heroes who came to the rescue. It just helps in the reading skills and how that we take that in into our minds. Social skills are greatly enhanced because again, the interaction, the thinking outside the box, the working on a project together. And what we've seen through those evaluations and tests are that there is a higher graduation rate with students who are in theater arts than students who are not. There are higher test scores. SAT scores are overall better. They're higher. And there's a motivation. They learn motivation. You're motivated to get up and do something. You're motivated to finish your studies and to do it in a timely manner. I think that's because we always have a rehearsal schedule when we work on anything. So they know by the end of the week, I have to have A, B, C completed. And I think that can transfer over to by the end of the week, I have to have chapters 2 and 4 completed in history. I have to have my math history done. So we keep learning to keep to a schedule and adhere to what is expected from.
Yeah. And I think also when I think about having to be patient and to be able to take turns, like this is not my turn to speak. So maybe that impulse control and the controlling of, you know, my behavior, my choices, that's really important because what I say or do is going to impact somebody else. And can't all be talking at the same time in a play. So you're going to be taking your turns. You're going to be waiting and listening for your part. And you're putting it into action. So it's not just stationary. You're moving and you're engaging in that, your whole body and the music and the dancing, like you were saying. So it really involves all these parts of our minds and our bodies that are actively involved. So I think that it could be very engaging.
And I think that's incredibly important. You said it. It gets students up out of their seats. We spend, you know, of course, in school, we spend a lot of time, students spend a lot of time sitting.
Yeah.
They just sit. We know that the more active you get, the blood is pumping through your heart and your brain, which is opening more doorways.
Yeah.
So I think after the rehearsal or after their theater class, going back to a history class or to a math class or biology or science, whatever it is, they retain better. They take in more. That sponge is willing to take in more information because they have been up, moving, and their blood is circulating. Their mind is moving. They're more activated.
As a parent, I saw my children thrive in both your school and then you had summer theater programs as well. You still have the summer theater programs, right?
We do.
Oh my gosh, those were fantastic. Yes, I love those. And same thing, end of the summer, wonderful theater production you guys had put on. But my daughter especially, she impressed me through your program because she was very quiet and introverted. And so she was in your program from 6th, 7th, 8th grade, did the summer programs as well. And she completely embraced the experience and went from, like I said, this very quiet child that did not want to ever have any attention towards her, never wanted to like speak in front of anybody, especially her classmates. And she thrived in this and she really loved it so much that she was like, please, can I go to the summer program? So it wasn't just like, oh, I have to do it for the school. She signed up willingly for the school, but then wanted to continue it through the summer. And so I just saw that it made a difference in the way she carried herself, the way that she had the discipline to be able to say, I'm going to stand up tall. I'm going to project my voice. I'm going to be thinking about what I'm saying. I'm going to be rehearsing it, practicing it. And so those skills transferred over to her into high school and into college and into life. And so those were some really big changes that I saw in her. And then as a teacher, I was able to see my my former students. And one boy in particular was, he went from very shy to very confident. He transformed. He actually blossomed on stage. And I just remember as a teacher going to the show and, you know, I wouldn't see these students very much anymore. You'd see them in the hallway. Hey, how you doing? Or whatever. Or maybe in our morning gathering. But I wasn't seeing them all day in the classroom and stuff. And so I just remember in particular, this one was a very quiet boy while he was in second grade. Didn't really want to raise his hand. Didn't really want to ever be in front of the class. And here I go and I see him perform in the theater, and he is on fire. I mean, he's dancing and he's singing and he's smiling. And I was absolutely floored. I know the rest of the teachers were all talking about it. Like, who is this child? We do not know him. Completely different. And I saw that as the way that he would walk in the halls with confidence. He, you know, when kids saw him, like when the whole school went and saw that first performance, and there he was, like the star of the show, dancing and singing and everything else. And the kids and everybody knew his name then. It was like, oh my gosh, the little ones are like, he's a little hero, and they're looking up to him and they want to talk to him and they know his name. And his classmates had this like newfound respect for him. Like, he was super cool. And he all of a sudden like was engaged in classroom discussions, and he became a leader. And here is this child that was this shy introvert who didn't want to really be involved in anything. And the next thing you know, he's at like cloud nine, top of the ladder here when it comes to the pecking order or whatever in the school dynamics, all the way up to eighth grade. So I just saw that and I was very impressed because what it can do for a child, and that really impacted him and made a big difference in his life. Do you have any other stories to share about some success stories that you've seen in your time?
Very similar, and we do see them all the time. And again, that's the thing that gets very addictive as an instructor, is to see that. My very first year was that first year that we only had a couple of months. I had a young man who was incredibly shy. The first 6 weeks, I don't think he ever raised his head and looked me in the eyes. He was just that shy, painfully shy. And I gave him a few things to do. I didn't force the students to do more than I thought they could handle, because I wanted theater to be something they really enjoyed. So it's like, I thought, all right, he doesn't want to be here, but he's in the class, so he has to be here.
Right.
But I didn't give him as much to do. And he was very stiff. He's very stiff, a little awkward. He chipped away at the stone or that hard shell around him. I saw a little chipping. Then we did The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And of course, that's a great classic piece of literature, and there's a fantasy about it. There's a battle in Narnia. He got to fight. He got to do stage combat, and that he suddenly blossomed into this energetic, hey, have you thought about, let's do this? He had ideas. I mean, it was just, and I knew, I talked to his parents at one point, and I knew he liked video games, and he liked some of the mythological sort of stories. And getting to act that out, getting to have a sword fight on stage, a carefully choreographed sword fight, but a choreographed sword fight on stage, I watched him blossom. And that continued to blossom, going from Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe into the next year, where it was, again, a musical where he had to sing and dance, something he was totally uncomfortable doing, and jumped into it with both feet and was really quite wonderful. And then at the end of the school year, after the performance, his mother came to me, introduced herself, tears running down her eyes. I thought I had done something wrong. And she said, thank you for giving me back my son. She said, for years, he had become so introverted, it had gone into like the world of just playing on the computer. And she said, he never looked up at dinner. He never spoke at dinner. We never had conversations. He had become so withdrawn. And something clicked. Again, getting to do a sword fight on stage, something clicked. And she said, he comes home every day excited to go, this is what we did in class. This is what I got to do in rehearsal. Oh, Mom, this is so exciting. I can't wait till you see this part. And she said, suddenly my son was back in our family again. And it really affected me. And seeing how much, how important it was to her, was a major success story. And I see that every year. We saw little stories like that every year. But I've also had one of my former students was in that first production. She's now a professional classical musician, a glorious opera singer. Oh, wow. I've got a young girl who is now a well-known ballerina that just, she came to me and she's like, yeah, I dance. And I saw that she was incredibly gifted, and we had a lot of talks, and I talked to her parents quite a bit, and they continued to support her. And now she's, you know, she has a ballet career, which is what the only thing she ever wanted was to dance.
So it's opening up these creative opportunities for students that if you don't have these type of programs in your school or in the ability to reach out and to access that, it kind of limits a child's future. When I was in first and second grade and I had taught, I used Reader's Theater. I don't know if you're familiar with that. It's a really simple way to introduce theater to first and second graders, you know, when we're not doing a full-on production. And they used to love that. But that was an easy way for me to be able to bring those little stories to life. And we did something called Stone Slop. It was like a twisted fairy tale from Stone Soup. And I would have like all the kids, they made all their costumes. They made the scenes, the settings, all of it. They made it all by themselves. And they really took ownership of that. That was a big deal to be able to take ownership to say, oh, I think that it should look like this. And I'd say, that's great. Okay. And then they would bring in like a can of soup, and we would have this giant pot. And so each child would throw a can of soup that they brought from home into one big pot. It sounds absolutely disgusting. We would cook it all day long and you'd smell it. And as long as you avoided seafood, honestly, it was actually pretty good. We would invite the other classes in and they would perform, and then they would give them this stone slop, all right, the sloppy soup. And students that would come into the class would be like, when can we do that play? And they would always remember it. And it was something that just kind of stayed with them. The experience, I think, was really fun for them, but it was also really engaging, kind of brought something to life that they could take control over. So what would you recommend for other teachers to be able to do to bring theater into their classroom, especially if they don't have a theater program at their school?
Lisa, I think you touched on it by simply, that's such a great idea. I love a stone slop. But I love the fact that you made a soup that's, you know, taking it to an extra level. That's incredible. And I know a lot of schools certainly don't have theater programs, and I don't think it has to be a massive, we're lucky that we were, again, for the Epiphany Cathedral, right, we were lucky to put on fully scaled, mm-hmm, fully realized musicals. I don't think it has to be that, certainly not at the younger ages. So what I think you did was brilliant. Simple theater games that any teacher can go on the internet and look up theater games. Those are the games that again, teach the interaction. They teach the think outside the box. Even for the young ones, the tiny ones, there are some great games out there. Doing what you did, you found a great script.
Yeah.
But sometimes I will do one-day little workshops with schools. And I will just, we're going to act out a fairy tale. Because most of the kids will know the same fairy tale. And we'll do the same thing. I'll bring in a bag of some props that look like they should be in the fairy tale. And then I'll bring in a bag of just, okay, you need a sword, but it's a stick. Now I need you to use your imagination, or what else can it be? So it's playing with props and going, all right, it looks like a box, but in the sketch, what is it? And watching how the kids create for themselves. Oh, it's not a box. That's my magic time travel machine. And I have to pass it around. The theater games, acting out the short skits like you did, I think that's a great thing. And it doesn't have to take a ton of props. It doesn't have to take a ton of time. But it does immediately go, kids, we're going to work on our imagination, on the thing that – our imagination for me is the thing that is our life force. I will always say that. Imagination is our life force. So by doing that early on, we're still already training them to make use of their imagination, and then to think outside the box. And you said they did it themselves, so it empowered them.
Yeah.
So anytime that we can empower students, we should be doing that. But it's, again, theater games, short skits, fairy tales. If at all possible, I would say take it out of the classroom that you're teaching your math and your science in. Find another place, because then that becomes the creative space. The place where I'm not thinking about biology or math or reading. I'm thinking about, I'm creating. So if it can be in another space, it's always great.
It's good advice. What kind of advice can you leave for parents?
My favorite story in the entire world is Peter Pan, the boy that won't grow up. And I think that as teachers and as parents, as older brothers, as older people, we sometimes inadvertently quench the imagination of children. I encourage my students to play games, but when mommy or daddy are, you know, stressed about something, sometimes we hear, stop that. You're not Peter Pan. Stop that. Grow up. When you hear that over and over, you're trained to not use your imagination. Without our imagination, man did not go into space. There are not professional football players. There are not great female scientists. There's nothing. We all at some point, consciously or unconsciously, imagine something that we end up being. And I think the most important thing that we can do to parents or help parents is choose wisely the words you say instead of, no, you're not that person, or grow up, you're too old for that. I think we need to learn how to say, that's great, that's awesome, and let's explore that at another time. But for right now, I need you to dot, dot, dot. You know, when we play pretend as children, there are no boundaries. When I get a theater student for the first time in ninth grade, they have forgotten how to play pretend. And play pretend is how you became a doctor in education. Play pretend is how my father ran an oil company. Play pretend is how we went to the moon.
Right.
And I think the most thing we can do is just keep supporting imagination.
Excellent. Well, Brad, thank you so much for joining me today to discuss the vast and transformative benefits of theater education.
It is my pleasure, and keep doing what you're doing. This is awesome.
Thank you. So let's take action today. Advocate for theater education, support arts initiatives, and spread awareness about its transformative benefits. If you've got a success story from a school that you'd like to share, reach out to me at drlisarichardsonhassler@gmail.com or send me a message on my website at www.drlisarhassler.com. If you've enjoyed tuning in, don't forget to subscribe and spread the word to a friend. The more people who know about it, the greater impact we can make. If you found value in the podcast, you can also support us by clicking on the supporter link in the show notes. It is the mission of this podcast to shine light on the good in education so that it spreads, affecting positive change. So let's keep working together to find solutions that focus on our children's success.